So it was very lovely. I came to a prayer meeting yesterday morning with some lovely ladies, and everything that we was praying and every scripture that was being read was really saying what I'm speaking about this morning. So how lovely is God when he comes to confirm something to you. So it's if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to be speaking from verse 16, but I just want to read a little bit above there. I think I'll just read a little bit in verse 7, so if you've got it. 2 Corinthians 4. So it says, but we have this treasure, this is verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. And we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And then I'm just going to read you this. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so it was just this scripture that caught me, and obviously this little bit before, that we have these treasures in jars of clay. And obviously, if you know that we aren't the finished article till we come face to face with Jesus. And we're kind of like a bit like broken people. We're a bit imperfect. If anybody feels that they are perfect, they just want to inform me now. That'd be lovely. You can do the talk. But I know that I have pieces of me that are a bit broken, and I'm imperfect in a lot of things, but I know that I have Jesus Christ in me, living in me, and I know how I have this treasure in me. So I know that I can be victorious, I know that I can be confident, I know that I can be bold, I know that I can be strong in my faith, and I know that I can have strength. And it isn't anything of my own ability, so I am boasting in myself, because this is what leads to pride and arrogance. I know that I am just this little person, and this is what it's saying when it's describing us in these jars of clay, like jars of clay. We're just little people, but we've got the great God of heaven inside us. And so it's just somehow God gives us this wonderful ability by the power of the Spirit to be these women this morning that he's called us to be, with all the confidence of heaven. And I really want to talk to us this morning about really living from this eternal perspective. And I've spoke about it over the years so many times, but I haven't spoke about it for a long time, but I feel it's very, very important for us that we do. And so it says in here in scripture, and he says it twice, he says it at the beginning of chapter 4, but he says it again in 16, for we do not lose heart. I was just thinking, the heart is the first thing that God changed about us. He changed our heart of stone to a heart of flesh. He didn't actually change our minds. So it doesn't say he changed your mind first, he changed your heart, because the heart is the seat of everything. It's where everything flows from. It kind of affects your mind. It affects everything of who you are. It's got all your emotions in there, and it's got your will in there, and somewhere there's something in your heart that is the very root of who you are. And I just want to be real with you this morning. Sometimes we can lose heart. We can get disillusioned. We can get depressed. We can get disappointed. We can feel despair at life. We can get all those things because we're in reality. I had a little moment on Tuesday. I just got up. I had I didn't sleep very well. You know what you're like if you haven't slept well. I don't sleep well anyway, but when I say I don't sleep, I'm not like I've hardly had any sleep. And so, like, I got up like that. I had this acute uveitis, which I sometimes get, where the eye swells and it's like grit. It's like somebody's in your eyeball. It drives you insane. And then I have trouble with my bowels. My body was aching. I had sciatica. And what else did I have going on? Anyway, I had every number of thing going on with me in my body. And I just got down on my knees and I started to cry. And I guess in that moment, I was kind of looking at myself in that moment, because we all do, we just have little moments. I'm being real with you. I'm not trying to be some kind of super spiritual higher being. I'm just a normal person. And in that moment, I just felt like, I feel absolutely wretched. And I just cried out to God and I had some worship on. Do you know, I don't know how the transition happened, and I don't, because I was weeping. And when I tell you I was weeping, I was really weeping. And the next thing, I had my hands in the air and I just like was started worshipping Jesus. And in a second, I went from one thing to another. And I just want to tell you, although it's hard, it's as easy as that. So like God say, seek me and you'll find me. Come draw near. I'm close to you. It's what we do in the situation. So he's just telling us, Paul's telling us not to lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You know, you can only be renewed day by day by this wonderful word of God. You see, your relationship is determined by really your relationship with the word. So I'll say that again. Your relationship is actually determined by your relationship with the word of God. Because in the word of God, it shows us who God is. So it helps us to be in relationship with. It helps us to, when we're looking down, like in the Psalms, let me have a little peep around. God will show me how to peep around. In the Psalms, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That is where our help comes from. If this is the God of creation who put everything into place at the commanded word of his voice, he spoke something into being as wonderful as creation. And this psalm is saying, lift your eyes up to the hills, know where your help comes from. It's like really, really important. Your help is found in the word of God. Go to scripture all the time. What the enemy wants to do, if your life is really determined by listening to the enemy, I'll tell you, you're going to get really taken out, because he'll lie to you, he'll deceive you. And what he does, he tries to get you depressed and low, so you don't pick it up. And I just feel it is. I don't know what happens to you. You just get in that depressed state. It is the truth. And the thing that you're meant to do, you don't do. You know when Paul says, and the thing I want to do, you know, I've got this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. It's like waging war all the time. There's a warfare going on. And the enemy, it's a warfare for your Christian life, for your Christian walk. So what does he want to do? Keep you out the word of God, keep you from the truth. What did he do with Adam in the garden when God was speaking the truth? Satan comes in to say, oh, that's not the truth. This is what you should be doing. And it's always a lie. And so it says somewhere in the Psalms, let me just have a little peep. When it says, as a deer, it's a glorious psalm, isn't it? As a deer pants for the water. I'm not sure, is it 40 odd? It says, as a deer pants for, it is 42. As a deer pants for the stream, so my soul pants for you, Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then it says these things. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. He's like in the reality. My soul is cast down. He keeps saying it. I'm in turmoil. There's turmoil within me. And then all of a sudden, he's looking up to the mountains, to the hills. He's putting his gaze back on God. And it is the only way to live, girls, I'm telling you. It's the only way to be. And so that's how you get your spirit renewed, is by keeping in the spirit, keeping in the word of God, keeping in prayer. And do what the Bible intentionally comes to do. It comes to find really the intentions of our hearts. And this is where it says, do not lose heart. And the Bible comes to find the intention of our heart. The Bible is not to puff you up with knowledge, to think you are some clever dick who knows every bit of scripture. It comes to find the intention of your heart. So you'll have some bits of scripture, some promises that God's given you, and hold on to them tightly. There'll be precious things that you know where they are in the Bible. You'll know what page they are on the Bible. Not if you get a new one, I have to hasten to say. You've got to find them all over again. But even when you turn over the pages, you'll just know where they are, because they'll be so precious to you. And go to the word, go to those promises, go to the scripture. But also keep in it. Don't just look at those things. Keep in it and get grounded in it. So you read like a book and go all the way through the book and say, God, this is what scripture does. It comes to reprove, it comes to correct, it comes to encourage, it comes to challenge. Let the Holy Spirit do all those. I want to say to you, if you read the Bible by rote, or just think, oh, I'm just picking it up, I'll read it away like this. I've done my little bit, I've had my Bible time. My dad used to say it. Oh, he just used to drive me mum insane. He said, I've had my quiet time. She used to say, you've only been 10 minutes, Jeff. It's like, I've had my quiet time. It's like, I've said a couple of prayers, I've read my Bible. Well, how has the Holy Spirit spoken to you in that time? You know, give him some time, give him some space to let him speak. And if it's not coming, if the word of God is not coming to change something in you, it is really, I want to say it's pointless you're reading it. Because if it isn't coming to change something, to make you more like Jesus, to come and challenge some areas. As I just got walking this morning, I was praying. Oh, the challenge of some scripture came into my mind by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God just went chung, 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 like that across my face. A good karate chop as I were walking. And I said, oh, God, I am so sorry. It was like something was illuminated at my behaviour. We all have behaviour traits that need illuminating, that we do, that are not Christ-like. And so you can shout out for all you like that you're holy. You are holy in your position, but we have to practice holiness. We have to practice being like Jesus Christ. There's something we have to do, guys. And so it's very important. And then Paul goes to say, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Oh, I just want to tell you how I love to talk about heaven. Right, heaven is our home, but I want to tell you this. The earth is our training ground. And if you get that right way round, that you'll be in a real good place. So heaven is somewhere where we're really, well, for me, I can't wait to die. So maybe you're not that person. I love Dave, but I love Jesus a lot better than Dave. And I am longing to go to heaven because I don't love the earth. I don't love the things of the world so greatly above loving the greatest treasure that I've got in heaven. And let me tell you, the disciples spoke about heavenly things all the time. You go to Colossians and it tells you to set your eyes on the things above where Christ is seated. Set your head up in heavenly things. Like I was reading this thing in Peter as well. And he says this thing. So in this you rejoice, though now for a little while. This is 1 Peter 1, verse 1, chapter 1. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, that's why you're on the training gang, guys, because God puts some heat up. That's when God is saying there's a fire coming, and he's saying it in the church, he's burning the dross. This is what he's doing. He's getting rid of some of those things because he's testing the genuineness of who we are. And if you don't believe that is the truth, well, you haven't been reading the scripture very carefully. And so he tests it, and he finds it, he says, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, And it says, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in your trials and in your difficulties, you're going to go through them, you're going to have nightmares or situations, because whoever tells you you come to Jesus and everything is lovely, they're liars. And so when you come to Jesus, he says you're going to share in his suffering, you're going to get affliction, you're going to get persecution, you're going to get it in the neck. So if you understand that, you'll come from a good standpoint. And then the Bible actually tells you, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. So it's going to actually cost you something to be a follower of Jesus. So when people then preach this crazy gospel, all you have to do is believe, liars, it is not the truth. Because there is a cost to following. You have to deny yourself. That is a very hard thing to do, to put yourself down and to take up your cross. Understand I might have a bit of suffering, and you've got to follow Jesus, be obedient to the word of God wherever he tells you to go or whatever he tells you to do. Do you think that's easy? Do you think that we just do that by just saying, like, all you've got to do is believe? Because it really is not the truth. And I hear these people in America preaching these gospel messages to big churches. The churches are filled, the stadiums are filled, because what they do is they want to go to where the rich ears want to be heard, to some nice like motivational, what I would call motivational speaking. Well, we do not do at this church or in these meetings motivational speaking. It is not that. It's going to be hard work. So I was just thinking, I was thinking about Peter when I was thinking about this. You get Peter, and I think it's in maybe something like Luke 22. So you get Luke, you get Peter denying Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. And the you is actually plural. It's meaning all disciples. Do you think that we're exempt from a good shaking down sometimes? Honestly, do you feel that you've been in a place where you've had a right good shaking, or you're actually in a place where you feel the shaking of the enemy shaking you, but you know he can't ever do anything because he has to go ask permission of Jesus to go do that shaking in you? And Jesus, whatever the enemy sends for bad, Jesus always turns it round for good. So you read Job and you'll find when Satan comes to ask Job, can I have Job? Jesus say, well, I know that he's a man of faith and he will not let me down. And so that is what Jesus is trying to do in us. The Satan comes, you'll feel the warring, you'll feel the shaking. If you don't feel anything in your life and you're just toddling about, and just ask yourself, there's meant to be these two inner things going on all the time. We're meant to have an inner war and an inner peace going on all the time. Mm-hmm. The inner war is you're fighting with your flesh, and the inner peace is that you know you've got Jesus Christ. So you know these jars, and you've got this treasure in these jars of clay. And the two things should be going on all the time. Now, the problem is, if you've got the shaking going on and you've got the war, but you haven't got any peace, you've got to say, now where's my relationship gone with Jesus? Where is this faithful, perfect, all-sufficient Jesus? Where's this miracle-working Jesus who can perform any miracle? Where's this miracle-working Jesus gone? Where's my faith gone? Have I fallen into unbelief? Ask yourself those questions. Have I fallen somewhere into some unbelief in my life? And then get back again, because you know the story of Peter. And so he goes on. Jesus says, you're going to deny me. And Peter's obviously saying, no, I'm not going to ever do that. But he does. He does deny Jesus. Mm. So I want to tell you, the Bible is full of loveliness. Because sometimes we fall flat on our faces. Sometimes we actually fall down. We get it all wrong. Can I tell you something? It's okay to get it all wrong. because then Jesus comes with his presence and his power. And if you read at the end of John, what he says, Jesus comes to bring such healing to Peter. He says, do you love me, Peter? And he says, yes, of course I love you, Jesus. And he says it to him three times. And somehow in that moment, he's healed him from the mess that he made. And how precious is scripture to inform us and tell us of those things, that we maybe will fall right flat on our faces. We'll get it all the wrong way around. We'll say the wrong things. We'll do it. But if we're truthful to who we are, if we're truthful, if we face ourselves, we'll understand that Jesus will come for us, because this is what he does. And he'll come to heal us and put us back together. He comes to mend us. He's a good, good God, I'll tell you. And then you only have to go into Acts. And then if you read in Acts like 4 about Peter, about his preaching, and then where he was denying, can you see this healing that came? Where he was denying Jesus in front of everybody, he stood and he's telling everybody about Jesus. He's telling everybody. And then he gets imprisoned for telling everybody about Jesus. He's like, somewhere something has switched in his head. He goes from a denier of Jesus, and he's afraid and he's got no courage, to standing up in front of everybody. And then what do they say? What shall we do? He goes through the scripture and he says, and then people start saying, what shall we do to be saved? And he tells them. I mean, if you don't think the Bible is exciting and you can't get into it, oh my word, just ask the Holy Spirit. I am not learned. I am not clever in, and do not hear me getting wrong, because I'm not downing myself at all. But I have got no academia at all. But I have got everything, because I have got the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells me in scripture that he teaches me all things. So I am the most learned, cleverest person, because the Holy Spirit is informing my spirit of what the truth of scripture is saying. And that is the only learning ground that I want to be on. And it is the truth. It's the only learning place I want to be, because it causes a different presence. It causes a different power. It causes a different anointing. And so, you know, girls, I just want to say to you, do you know, I write things down, but I just really don't know why I write things down. So, if we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I'm just going to end with this. Make the unseen God the most important person in your life. Make the unseen God the most important person in your life. Because then it will help you to get off the unseen things of the world. But if you're more important to you are the seen things that are going on in the world than the unseen things of God, let me tell you, you will get anxiety, you will get depression, you will get all those things, because you are looking and you are gazing at the wrong thing. Because we're meant to gaze upward, not downward. So that's it. That's all I'm saying. That's the end of it. Hallelujah. That'll have gone in somewhere. Hopefully. I told you, I won't give you too much that you can't take in.